always stretching out toward humanity in love and in an offer of help and forgiveness. What a Savior. What a God. Today, I want you to open your Bible to the book of Romans, and I want us to put in chapter 12, and I want to speak today from Romans chapter 12. I will take time to read 8 verses, and then I'll share with you some thoughts on God's call to us for consecration. God wants us to live an obedient life. His desire is that we yield our lives to Him because He has for us a far better life than we could plan and build for ourselves. The Lord has a wonderful life for His children, not just after death, but here in this world. I'm grateful for that. When you read the stories of the past year, over 100,000 believers were killed for their faith. Killed for their faith. I read a story this week where 23 believers, Egyptian believers, were beheaded because they would not denounce the Lord Jesus Christ. When the problem started, one of them was not a believer in Christ. 22 was beheaded. They came to the 23rd one, and they said to him, "If you will denounce Jesus, you can live and we'll release you. And you can go tell your story." And this person said, bound on his knees on the beach, he said, "I take their God to be my God." And he was beheaded. Over 100,000 has died this year, not because they were in a war, not because they signed up to go to battle, but over 100,000 believers have died because they were just simply believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a challenge to my heart. How much do we love Jesus? I call your attention today to Romans chapter 12. And this is a call and an appeal for consecration. Notice what God said through the pen of the Apostle Paul. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies," yield your bodies. This word present is really the word yield. "Yield your bodies a living sacrifice, a living offering to the Lord." Yield your body while you're here on this planet, in this life, while we go to our jobs, while we carry on our activities, while we're in this world, we're to yield our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I will not say very much about this, but I quickly want to read verse 3 through verse 8. It talks about service. This is the spirit and the attitude that we're to have. Listen to this. "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man or person that is among you, not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every believer the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I want to bring some thoughts this morning from these verses. Call to consecration. What does it mean to be consecrated? Well, I think the word suitable would be well to insert in the definition for it. Suitable. Available. One that is spiritually capable of doing and bringing our body and yielding our lives to the Lord. We're to do that. This is a message from God to all believers. Listen to this. Through Paul, the beloved servant of Jesus. If you ask Paul, what is your vocation? He would say, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. There was times in his life that he did the work of a tent maker. He did this to provide sustenance for himself. But when he was asked, who are you? When he was asked to give an explanation for his life and who he was, his answer was, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. Paul the apostle, a prisoner of love, a prisoner who has surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to be known as a servant of the Lord Jesus. In these verses, I want you to see, first of all, that he refers to a relationship that is divine. Notice how he starts this particular chapter. In verse 1, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. To me, that speaks about a relationship that is divine. This is a family unit. This is a definition of the household of faith. He said, we are brothers. That includes sisters. We are family members. And he said, I am writing you on this relation, about this relationship that is divine. And then he said, I'm going to make an appeal. He says, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I plead with you. I urgently ask you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The basis for this appeal, what was the grounds of this appeal? What note did Paul want to hit in the hearts of these readers? What is God's will for our hearts this morning as we read and talk about this passage? Look at the basis of this appeal. He said, I am appealing, I am making great effort to move you and to stir you and make an appeal to you that you would yield your body or your life to the Lord. But notice what his appeal was. Listen to this. By the mercies of God. I appeal to you on the basis of God's mercies. Does that move you? Do you give much thought to the mercies of God? Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, listen to this, but according to his mercy. It is according to his mercy. He, the emphasis is on he and on mercy. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Not by washing, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And verse 6 of that chapter says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. You and I should resolve. You and I should understand. You and I should respond and say yes to God. I want to be consecrated. I want my life to be yielded. I want my body. I want my words. I want my thinking. I want my attitude. I want my steps. I want my life, whatever I'm involved in. I want it to be honoring to the Lord. I want to be used of the Lord to bring glory to his name and give him praise for what he has done for us. And it's all based on his mercy. Do you realize that you are here today because of the mercies of the Lord? Do you realize this morning whatever you had for your breakfast, you had that because of the mercies of God? Often when we say our little prayer before meals, the Holy Spirit brings to my mind, Father, we have this food because of your mercy. We have this food because of how good you are to us. And certainly if you're saved, you're saved because of God's mercy. It was not because of the works of righteousness which we could do. It was not because we deserved it. It was not because we were of better quality than others who were saved. It was because of God's mercy that we're what we are today. And we're where we are today because of his mercy. And he gave an appeal based on the mercy of God. Oh, what an appeal. Not only do I see a relationship that is divine in this verse, but I see a responsibility that is definite. Listen to the latter part of this verse. Here is a responsibility, listen, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That is a responsibility that is definite. Did you know that you and I have no right to live our lives as we choose? Do you know that you and I have no right to plan our future without involving God? Do you know that you and I don't have any right to plan our career without involving God if we're saved? God says there is a responsibility that is definite. And that responsibility is that you would present your body a living sacrifice. And did you know that's just a reasonable sacrifice? Wow. He said our body should be presented holy, acceptable unto God. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, when we do that, listen to me, that is only a reasonable sacrifice. If I, every day of my life, if I had have given my life to the Lord every day and made myself available every day and come down to the end of life, did you know that would only been a reasonable sacrifice? Sometimes people's, and I've heard it. Well, sometimes preachers are just unreasonable. unreasonable in what they expect members to do. They're unreasonable in saying that we owe God and we are to serve the Lord and we are to be committed to the Lord. And sometimes preachers just unreasonable in the things that he admonishes us to do. Well, may I say to you that if you and I did everything that God wanted us to do based upon the grace and sweet mercy that he's shown in our lives, if we did everything that God wanted us to do and we come to the end of our life, nobody could boast. All of us would have to acknowledge, I have just done what was my reasonable service. You say, why, preacher? Well, that sacrifice that he's asking us to yield to is reasonable because of some things. Let me ask you to turn quickly in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let me give you why I say that. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Now listen. What? He is challenging these people to think. He said, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Do you realize that our bodies, they are temples for the Holy Spirit, which is in us? He lives in us. And he said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Now listen to this. Which you have of God. God has given us his Holy Spirit. God has planted his Holy Spirit in our hearts and spirit. And he said, and you are not your own. Wow. We're not our own. We hear a lot today about rights. And people are crying, give me my rights, give me my rights. I'm glad that God didn't give me what I rightly deserved. I'm glad that God gave me mercy. And when it comes to serving the Lord and my commitment to the Lord, I have no rights. Who am I to say, God, you're asking too much? Who am I to say, God, that's too difficult? Who am I to say to God, Lord, you're just too demanding? I say to you, we belong to God. Our body belongs to God. And God so valued our body that God moved inside of our body when we were saved. And we became the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is a beautiful sanctuary. But did you know that God doesn't dwell in this sanctuary? Now, I do believe that God can make himself real and in ways that we can recognize. Sometimes you can walk up on the grounds of a place and you can sense that God is here. Sometimes you can go inside a sanctuary and it's just because of the people's attitude and the people's spirit, you can sense that God is there. But it's because of God who lives inside of people. God doesn't live in the dirt. God doesn't live in the cement. God doesn't live in the brick. God doesn't live in the sheetrock. God lives in the hearts of the people. And God said, you're not your own. You're not your own. Listen to this. You're not your own. Why are we not our own? You say, preacher, I am my own. I've heard people and I've probably had the same thought. Boy, I can't wait until I get 21 years of age. I'll be a man of my own. I just can't wait to get out of high school and make decisions for myself. I just can't wait. I just can't wait to where I can just run my life and make my own decisions. But if you're saved, it's not your life. It's Christ's life. If you're saved, it's not your body anymore. You don't have control of that body anymore. The Spirit of God wants control of it. Now listen at this, and this is the reason why. Listen. For you're bought with a price. You are bought with a price. Therefore, because you are bought with a price, glorify God in your body. How? By yielding to Him. By giving Him control of our body. Giving Him control of it. When I first got saved, my wife got right with the Lord, I really had convictions that probably I don't have now. I think perhaps God has tempered me deliberately. But I probably had some convictions that really I went overboard. I didn't believe a Christian ought to go to a movie. And then they filled the television with movies, and all of us became adapted and used to viewing the movies on the television. But anyway, back then, you just didn't go. And there was a movie that came to the drive-in theater. And I'm not blaming this on my wife, but we discussed it, and she wanted to see, and I did too. She said, "We can go see this movie nobody will know we're there. It won't hurt anything. Won't hurt a thing in the world." And I had just surrendered my life to be a preacher. We went to the movie, and they have a concession stand. And about halfway through, they always have an intermission for drive-in theaters. And the reason they do that is they advertise that concession stand. And man, you could smell that popcorn. And I could taste those Cokes. And my wife said, I want some popcorn. And when Mama wants popcorn, you better get popcorn. Nobody's going to see me. I slipped out of the little car, and I started down to the concession stand. I got about 30 or 40 feet from the concession stand, and Brother Bob, somebody said, "Hey, preacher, how you doing?" And when that person said that, about 10 other people looked my way. Boy, our bodies don't belong to us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, "For you're bought with a price." We are bought with a price. And because we're bought with a price in our body, we are to glorify God. Somebody said not long ago, "Brother Don, don't preach on standards like you used to." I know how some of you talk. I believe you ought to dress in a way to glorify your body. I don't believe you ought to dress in a way to try to draw the wrong kind of attention to ourselves. We ought to glorify God in everything we do. Our life, where we go, how we live, our home, we're to glorify God. Glorify the Lord. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Listen to this. In your body. And then second, listen to this. In your spirit. Somebody would say, "Well, it don't matter. It don't really matter about what the body does. It's what's in the spirit." May I say to you, it does matter. God said, "Glorify the Lord in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And Paul, in making his appeal to the people in this letter, he said, "I appeal to you on the basis of the mercy of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice." Not only do I see in this scripture a relationship that is divine and a responsibility that is definite. None of us are excused. None of us are eliminated from it if we're saved. But I see this. I see the results that is delightful. Oh, the blessing of having done this. Listen to what he said. He said, here's the delightfulness of it. He said, when you present your body as a living instrument to God, as a live instrument, busy, active believer, when you do that, you present it holy and acceptable unto God, which is just a reasonable service. We haven't done anything to draw attention to ourselves for. It's reasonable. It's what God expects of us. And here is the delightfulness of it. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, you may declare, you may reveal, you may know, you may discern, and others will see it in your life, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this is a difficult question, and I wouldn't ask you to answer it publicly, but I will ask each of us to answer this in our heart, in our own mind. Let me ask you this question. Are we in the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? Is your life in the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? What is the answer to that? If we have to answer anything rather than humbly, yes, we're not where Jesus wants us to be. Here is the delightful part about it. He said, it'll keep us from becoming like the world if we're yielded to Jesus. If our bodies are yielded to the Lord, it'll keep you out of the world. It'll keep you from being conformed to the world. Would you say that our world, our nation has changed? Would you say it's changed? May I say to you, if Jesus Christ doesn't come, and unless there is a revival in this nation that I don't anticipate, there are so many different ideologies. There are so many different feelings. So many different opinions. And this thing that everybody's got a, and everybody does have a right according to our Constitution. But you don't have a right. You may not agree with me because I'm a Baptist preacher. But you don't have a right to try to harm and hurt me because I'm a Baptist preacher. And I'm telling you what we're seeing in California, what we're seeing in other places with all of these, and literally, they are professional demonstrators. Most of them don't even live there. Let me tell you how wicked and cruel and crooked people are. In order to try to elect a person who is an absolute, I don't think he could be any more liberal than what he is, to one of the seats for our House of Representatives from this state, U.S. Senate, U.S. Congress, I'm sorry. In an attempt to elect that man, listen to this, $8 million plus was sent in by liberals and communists and people who hates America and hates what you stand for as a Christian. Over $8 million was sent, not from this state, but from out of state, to a man who's going to try to buy that seat in that district. That's sad. That's sad. And the news media, so nice and so kind and so respectful to him, said, well, he's not really from this district, but said he lives with his girlfriend who's in this district. And they thought that was grand. That's a different message for a different time, perhaps. But God, you listen to me. God Almighty doesn't honor any couple living together in the relationship of husband and wife without being joined together legally by the Lord. You say marriage is, preacher, you're not one of us anymore. I mean, we done lost you way back yonder. I know. But I'll see you at the judgment seat. How about that? I mean, it's their decision. If they want to do it, they got a right to do it. But we don't have a right to accept it biblically. We don't have a right to flaunt it before our children. We don't have a right for people to advertise and pretend that it's normal and right and good and advertise it before our young. That's not a right to do that. And the rioting is taking place. I'm a peaceable person. But there's no way that this nation will ever be united again. Now listen to me. Without a bloodbath. I probably won't see it. But some of you young couples sitting here today and your children, you'll probably see a bloodbath in this nation from a war. Not about race, but about right and wrong, about philosophies, about different beliefs and different things that they want to see happen. I say to you, but this results of yielding ourselves to the Lord keeps us from being like the world, keeps us from getting in the mold of the world. How do you know if a person's in the mold of the world, Brother Richards? How do we know that? It doesn't take long. What do we think about? What do we patronize? What is it that makes us enjoy life? How do we dress? What are the places we enjoy frequent? I say to you, we know a lot about whether or not we're in the mold of the world by those things. I must throw this in. Probably lose a couple of more families. Hope not. But if I die before Jesus comes, and should you probably won't be very many come, but should you, out of sympathy for that old fat preacher, I'm going to go view his body. When you walk by and look into my face, you remember me saying this. God said that his children ought to not drink socially. And some of these Baptist preachers must give an account to God for it. When they themselves drink, they themselves participate in things like that. I'm saying to you, when you and I yield our bodies to the Lord, the delightful result will be that we're not going to be put in the world's form. We're not going to be like the world. Be not conformed to this world, he said. But listen to this. We're going to be transformed. Wow. Transformed. 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 Let me ask you a question. Do you meet people that perhaps you knew years ago before you met the Lord? And they don't understand you now? There was a guy that worked at the Coca-Cola bottling company with me, and I'm going to bring the message to a close. Got several other things, but I'll leave it. I never asked him if he was a Christian. I never asked him if he went to church. He worked in one section, and I worked across the humongous plant in another section. And my particular machine was down. And what I was doing, I was relieving the men to take their break. The machine that I operated was down for the annual repair. So my responsibility was to give all the other operators a break. And I had started to give that break. And I went to relieve this guy, and he came under a conveyor. We had to go under a conveyor, and we came under a conveyor, and we met face to face. And he said, "Could I ask you something?" I said, "You certainly can." His name was Kemp. And Mr. Kemp said to me, "Can I ask you something?" He said, "Are you some type of religious person? Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Well, I'm saved. I know the Lord." And he voluntarily said this to me: "Would you pray for my wife and I?" He said, "We're just miserable. And my home's going to fly apart if something isn't done. Would you pray for my wife and I?" And I said, "I will, Mr. Kemp. I promise you, I'll pray for you." And I went on to relieve the next person. I had an opportunity a couple of days later at lunch in the break room, back in the locker room where we had our lunch. I had a chance to talk with him. And I asked him, I said, "Are you really serious about this thing?" "Oh," he said, "I need help." And I said, would you do what I ask you?" "I will." I said, "I want you this Sunday morning, I want you to take your wife and I want you to go over to the West Merritts Baptist Church in Atlanta here. A preacher named Charlie Bagley is pastor. I want you to go over to Charlie Bagley's church. Take your wife." And he said, "I will." He and his wife went to church the very first time to that church. And I don't know what Brother Bagley preached on, but he was a preacher. Oh, he was a preacher. Preached revivals all over the state, Dallas state. A lot of people saved on his ministry. And the Lord convicted the heart of Mr. Kemp and his wife, and down the aisle they went. And he couldn't wait to tell me on Monday, "My wife and I got saved yesterday, preacher. We got saved. We went over to that church and we got saved." And he said, "I'm saved." And everybody said, "It won't last long. Hey, Kemp, you still got religion." They gave him such a hard time. But the last time I heard from William Kemp, it's been probably 25 years, maybe 30 years. The last time I heard from him, he was a deacon in a Baptist church. Amen. It lasts. And I want to tell you, you don't have to be in the mold of the world. And you can tell by just watching a person whose mold they're in. What moves you? What do you respond to? I'm so out of step that I look at my son, Jeff. He's here today. And Jeff and I sometimes will be watching television and they'll have a commercial on. And I sit there and listen and watch that commercial and I say to Jeff, "I don't get the gist of it. What are they trying to convey? What are they saying?" And I'm going to tell you something. If that is appealing to people, we've got some basket cases in this nation. Pitiful. So you just watch the commercials. What do you respond to? And you'll know whether or not what mold you're in. God help us to yield our bodies to Jesus Christ. Now you listen to me. If you're not saved, the Lord loves you. Jesus Christ has paid for your sin debt. But you must accept that. If you do not accept what Christ has done for you, then there's nothing else God can do for you. If you don't accept what Jesus did for you, that's it. That's it. There's no hope for you. But you can accept it. He'll receive you with open arms. He'll come into your life and change you. And he'll be your Savior and your Lord. I hope you'll give thought to that today. I hope if you're not saved, you'll come to Christ. If you are saved and you're just waffling around here to there, I hope you'll yield your body to Christ. Let him use you and bring glory to your life. And count for Jesus. Count for him. You'll never regret it. You'll never be sorry if you do that. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed for just a moment. I'll be very brief. If you'll just pray for just a moment and just ask the Lord to have his way. Heads are bowed. I wonder if we have someone in this room, first of all, and you would say, Brother Richards, I've listened. I don't understand maybe a lot you've said, but I've never been saved. I'm not saved. I know I'm not a Christian. I'm not saved. I don't want to go to hell when I die. I don't want to spend eternity separated from God. Pray for me that I'll make the right decision and trust Christ. Pray for me that I'll have the courage to do that. Would you lift your hand and say, pray for me? Anybody like that? You're not saved and you need prayer. I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Would you be honest enough to raise your hand and say, Pastor Don, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I'm looking over the audience. I'm looking over the audience. I'm scanning the audience and I'm trying to look carefully. All right? I wonder if we have some folks here today and you'd say, Brother Don, I'm saved.